All right, we are jumping into a new series of sermons this morning entitled Practicing the Presence of God. This goes along with our overall theme for 2024, which is developing a deeper awareness of God. That is our focus as a congregation. How can we know and love God more deeply? Well, I believe that this sermon series will help answer some of those questions. Now, some of what I'm going to say is going to be, you're going to say, well, this is obvious, this is elementary, I know all of this. And that's okay. We're going to kind of start at the beginning and work our way a little deeper as the weeks progress. So, developing a deeper awareness of God and practicing the presence of God, where does that start? Well, it starts with awareness. Just acknowledging that God is with us. I believe that one of God's greatest longings is to be with us, to be able to have fellowship with us, to commune with us, to develop this very intimate relationship with us, to know us individually as friends. He wants to get to know us. And that begins with an acknowledgement that He is a personal God. God is not some distant, disinterested God. He is a God that is near to us, very near to us. In fact, what I want to say is that God is here. He is here right now. The Apostle Paul was standing in Athens among the myriad of altars that they had built for the gods of Greece. And he says this in Acts chapter 17, verses 26 through 28. He says, "From one ancestor, he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God." I lost my place, and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own prophets have said, for we too are his offspring. Paul tells these philosophers, these great men of wisdom in Athens, listen, the God that you're searching for, this unknown God, he is near each one of us. And it is our job to search after him, to grope for him so that we can find him. God wants to be found. God is here. He dwells in his creation and is everywhere, indivisibly present in all of his works. Let me ask you this question. Has that sunk into our hearts and become part of our daily experience? It's one thing to intellectually know that God is here, or that God is everywhere. We use a big word in theology to describe that phenomenon. It is the omnipresence of God. That there is no place that God does not exist. There is no place, there can be no place where He is not. He is everywhere. Even David acknowledged that. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, David wrote, "Where can I go from the Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast." In essence, David is saying, no matter where you go, guess what you'll find, or guess who you'll find? You will find God. No point is nearer to God than any other point. It is exactly as near to God from any other place that you could travel. He says, I could go as high as the heavens or as low as the depths of the sea. No matter where I travel, God is there. So the psalmist asks two questions for us to consider. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? The answer is nowhere. God is everywhere. No one person is any closer to God than any other person. No place in time or space is any closer to God than any other place. Recently saw a story about Voyager 1. You familiar with Voyager 1? Voyager 1 was launched 2 years and 5 days before my birthday, September 5th, 1977. It was sent into space by NASA, and it was to collect information and send it back to Earth. It has been flying now for 46 years, outliving its lifespan by many, many years. As a matter of fact, scientists are amazed that they are still being able to communicate and collect data from Voyager 1. Voyager 1 flew past Jupiter, Saturn, and they had to make a decision whether it was going to fly past Pluto or Saturn's great moon, Titan. I think it's Saturn. Maybe it's Jupiter. Who knows? It's one of those. Does anybody know where Voyager 1 is today? Way out there. 15.1 billion miles away from Earth. Now, back, I think, at the end of last year through this year, they had trouble communicating with Voyager 1. It wouldn't send back its normal data downloads. And so they had to find a way to kind of reboot its computers. I guess it caught a cold out there that far from Earth. But it is still sending data back to Earth. It is the furthest human-made object in space. 15.1 billion miles. It's in interstellar space. Guess what? It's there, and so is God. He's there. You know where else he is? He's right here. He's in this room. He's with each and every one of us. And God desires to have a deep relationship with each and every person. He is in our midst. The problem is we are often unaware of his presence. We often go through our ordinary days, going through our routine. We all have a routine in life, don't we? I get up in the morning at 5 a.m. I shower, I get dressed, I'm at the bus station by 5:45. Right? I run my route, I come back here. Hopefully I'm here by the office between 9 and 9:30. I stay here and work until about 2 o'clock. Then I go back to the bus station, run a route from 2:10 to somewhere around 5. Then I'm back here at the office and stay until 7:30. Or I'm out doing visiting or whatever. Other things need to be done. Go home, have dinner, talk to the kids, watch a little TV, play Wordle. Got to get my Wordle in every day. And Quirtle and all the other ones. SETI Quirtle. Get ready for bed. Fill my CPAP machine, brush my teeth. Go to bed. It's very easy for me to go through that routine and not pay any attention to the presence of God. Be completely unaware of the fact that God is trying to get my attention. I believe that the Bible reveals that God's deepest desire is to be in fellowship with us. And the hunger of the human soul for a relationship with us. And the thing is, God takes the initiative, all right? God is not playing hide and seek with us. We do not have to beg God, coerce God, all right, to reveal himself to us. He wants us to see him, to know him. But are we attuned to his presence in our daily lives? Well, I decided to do an experiment on you all. Don't know if you've picked up on it or not. We're about to find out. So let me tell you what I did about 2 weeks ago. Anybody know what that symbol is? You can speak up. My ears are plugged. I can't hear you. It's called the Trinity Knot. It has other names, but in the Christian tradition, that's what it's called. Nobody really knows the origin of that knot. It's been used in other societies and by other people to mean a variety of different things. It has a grounding in the Celtic Christian tradition. And this Christian knot, or this Trinity knot, each ring is supposed to represent, all right, the Trinity of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So in essence, it is a symbol for God. Let me ask you, have you ever seen the Trinity knot? Raise your hand. Have you seen it recently? Leland, where'd you see it? Oh, yes, now. Always a smart aleck in the crowd. If you notice on your bookmarks, all right, for our theme this year, you'll notice that the Trinity knot is in the background. All right, if you notice the big poster outside of Ruby's office, which is the same graphic, it also has the Trinity knot. Have you seen the Trinity knot anywhere else recently? Yes, Miss Ann. It's above the door. 2 weeks ago, I printed off a dozen of that exact image and placed them around the building. How many of you have noticed it? One, two, three. They're there. They're still there. I haven't moved them. There are two in this room. Ann found one of them. All right. Let's just go through them. This is the bulletin board right outside the food pantry. You see it there? There it is. The next one. All right. Where's that one? Yeah, that's in the library. I have to stop and think where they are. All right. Is that the one you noticed? Nope. All right. That's in Ruby's office. That's on her bulletin board. Did you find it, Ruby?
I tried.
I just told her there's something different about your office. You tell me what it is. All right. Here's another one. Where's that? In the foyer, it's on the podium where you pick up your bulletin every day. As you're walking down the hallway, if you look at the podium, you can see it. Now, when you're standing right over it, you're not going to. But as you're walking down the hallway, it's there. There's the one over the door. Anybody found the other one in this room? This is the only congregation I know that has, do you know Blake?
Yeah.
The media center, our little tissue cubby.
Yeah.
There it is. There's the mission bulletin board. There's outside one of the classrooms. There's in the women's restroom. I had somebody check before I went in. I'm sure it was clear. The men's restroom. And under the clock in the fellowship room. How many of you noticed even one? Some of you did. They've been there for 2 weeks. Right in front of us. Right under our noses. And the point of the illustration is just that we go through our daily lives and things change around us. God's presence is there, yet we just aren't being attentive to it. We simply are not paying attention. We're kind of like Jacob in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 16. When he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Some of my words got taken off. He's here. But we've got to be alert. We've got to pay attention to what is going on around us. It's not that God isn't or is hidden or that he's hard to find. It's just that we get so enmeshed in our typical daily routine that we simply overlook where God is. And the truth is, he could not be any closer to us than our own secret thoughts. But we have to open our eyes. We have to look. God wants to reveal himself to us every day. But are we willing to open our eyes and pay attention to where he can be found? So we need to stay alert. Well, what does that look like? How can we stay alert? Well, I'm going to give you four questions. All right? And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Between now and next Sunday, every day, I want you to ask yourself these four questions. I want you to set some time aside, whether it's before bed or, you know, lunch break, whenever you have the time, I want you to set some time aside and I want you to ask yourself these four questions. And between now and next Sunday, I want to see how much more you recognize the presence of God in your daily life. And he can be found in so many different places, sometimes in unexpected places. Like this past week, I encountered God on a school bus in the life of a fourth grader. He got on and he sat right down beside me. All right? And he began to ask me questions. Very inquisitive. The second question out of his mouth was, "What are your top three favorite songs?" I said, "Well, that's hard to narrow down." He said, No. He said, "What are your top three Christian songs?" Oh, that's easier. So I rattled off a few. "The Goodness of God," "Hear Me When I Call," it's another good song, older. "He's a Good, Good Father." I tried to name a few that he might know because he's listening to contemporary Christian music. And then he said, "Let me tell you about mine. One of them is Give Me Jesus, sang by Bethel Music. I'd never heard it before. The other one was called Miracle Child." How many of you have heard it? It's a good song. Sang by Brandon Lake. My first introduction. And so I pulled up my Amazon Prime Music and we began to sit there on the school bus and we listened to them. And these words, because it scrolls the lyrics across my screen as it's being sung, these words came across my screen: "Death, where is your sting? My Savior's word is final. I am resurrected, blood protected. I am a miracle child." Powerful lyrics. Who was to know that God would reveal himself to me at just the moment I needed it to, by the way, through a fourth grader on a school bus, from a kid I'd never met? He's everywhere. Some of them are just that obvious. Some of them are less obvious. You might be just in a gentle breeze that blows, or a bird singing out of your window, or a ladybug that lands beside you. God is everywhere. Everywhere. But are we paying attention? Wendy Miller wrote a book called The Invitation into Presence. And in that book, she tells a story about her preacher who told her that one day he was walking to the church office and he was on his phone and he was thinking about what his week was going to look like. This was a Monday morning. And as he was walking, he was looking at his phone and he stepped over hoses, around some trucks, and over puddles of water. He got into the church building and the church secretary said, "Can you believe what happened?" And he said, "What? What are you talking about?" He said, "The Sunday school superintendent's house right next door burnt down last night. The firemen are still out there. The hoses are still running on the ground. They're starting to clean it up." He walked right over the hoses, right past the fire trucks, right through the puddles of water, and never saw it. My question is, how often do we do that with God? So here are your four questions. What would it look like? What would it look like if we developed a greater attentiveness to God's presence? Exercise, number one. Question number one. Where have I met God today? Where have I met him today? Sit down in a quiet place or in your car, wherever you can find the time. Ask and answer this question. Where have I met God today? Question number two, where have I missed God today? Where has he been trying to get my attention, all right, to draw me closer to him, but yet I've been so consumed by other things that I missed his presence. I missed him trying to tap me on the shoulder and to get my attention. So where have I missed God's presence today? Ask those questions throughout each day and week, and you'll be surprised how much more you recognize God's presence with you. Now, a variation of this exercise will increase your ability to perceive God. And I find it valuable to ask these next two questions. Question number three is, what helps me pay attention to God? What helps me pay attention to God? Is it reading scripture? Is it meditation? Is it prayer? Is it singing songs? Is it spending time out in God's creation? Is it listening to other children of God speak and talk, spending time with them? And then the fourth question, what hinders me from paying attention to God? What gets in the way? And how often do I actually seek to engage God in His presence? He is with us each and every day. He is living in our midst. And too often, just like the Trinity knots, we walk right past it. And we never even see it. So practicing the presence of God begins with two things. Number one, an awareness that He is everywhere. We cannot get away from His presence. Number two, it requires attentiveness. Intentionally discerning the presence of God in our lives. Recognizing that He has been with us from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep and every time in between. But we are so focused on other things, so distracted, we don't see Him right in front of us. Let me close with these words from Jeremiah. God is speaking to the Israelites who are in Babylonian captivity. God informs them that they're going to be there for 70 years. Now you realize that they have been taken away from Jerusalem, from Israel, from the temple of God, where they considered to be the hot spot of God's presence. Where they wanted to see God, they just had to go to the temple. And now they feel like they've been moved far away from the presence of God, that He can't be found in their current location. Listen, the presence of God is not about location, it's about experience. It's about attentiveness. It's about being attuned to God. But listen to what God says to these Babylonian exiles. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart. That's a promise. He will not hide Himself. He will not play hard to get. He's here. He's with Voyager 1. He's in this room. I promise you, He is with you. And every day, He wants to experience your presence. He wants to talk. He wants to listen. He wants to spend time with you. You know why? Because He loves you more than you can imagine. So practice the presence of God. Pay attention. Look for Him. He's there. If you would, let us stand. Let us sing.